How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 87 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there, and you can leave a review once you're on that page also. Find us on audioboom.com too, and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all your Thunder coverage right there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, last day of the show before we get to the weekend, or last day of the show. You know what, guys? I've been recording this stuff so late, I don't sleep anymore. So I end up saying last day of the show. Last show of the week. Like, only half of those words are even right. Last show of the week. I'm saying the wrong words. I'm putting them in the wrong order. I don't know what's going on. I'm in a bad mood today. I feel like I'm normally pretty cheery. Unless, like, somebody asks me something really stupid and I get pissy. But I feel like I'm normally a pretty cheery guy. I'm in such a bad mood right now. I was supposed to have Devin Carpurdian on. Devin is the editor emeritus of the Brooklyn Game. He now writes for Vice. He covered the Nets for years. A long time writer for the Nets. And now Devin's not on because my Skype got hacked. Awesome. So exciting. And I spent like an hour trying to get a new Skype ID, and then I tried to find a contact number so I could call Skype, and I couldn't find a number to call Skype, so I had to email them. They said they'd get back to me in 24 hours. How in the world could I not find an accessible number for Skype? Like, there's got to be one. I feel like I did a terrible reporting job. Honestly, I was so annoyed that I, like, didn't. I just searched out of frustration, and I think part of me didn't even want to find the number. I feel like the second this show post, someone's going to tweet me a contact support number for Skype. Anyway, frustrated, annoyed, couldn't have Devin on. Now I got to do a solo show. It's late. I'm tired. I barely slept last night after the game. Got the Nets in town, though. Used to cover the Nets. That was a thing. Play the Nets tomorrow. But first, I want to talk about Russell Westbrook's Hall of Fame induction on Thursday night. So Russell Westbrook took the podium, got inducted to the Oklahoma Hall of Fame on Thursday night. Came in a pretty conservative black tuxedo, black bow tie. He looked good. Michael Jordan introduced him. I think everyone thought a relatively typical Russell Westbrook speech was going to happen. I think we kind of all guessed maybe what he was going to end up saying in the speech. I was impressed with his speech because he came out and he laid a pretty impressive one-minute block in the middle of that four-minute speech. Here it is.
After witnessing the division and the challenges of our nation, we have been facing over the past several months, I've realized this is not about me, nor it's about the people in this room. Oklahoma is an unbelievable community. I'm so appreciative of the fact that people of Oklahoma have been so supportive of welcoming my family and I. However, I feel there's always room to grow. I can be better, you can be better, and we can be better together. I'm honored to be a part of this Hall of Fame, but I'm one of few. Our state is made up of unbelievable talented individuals, and I look forward to celebrating them no matter their race, gender, or creed. I accept this award for all the young kids who are told because of the color of their skin, where they come from, or what talent they don't have, they can somehow can achieve. I pledge to continue my work and hope to instill the importance of learning the love for reading for young people through my Why Now Foundation. excited GTV to join me in being productive citizens seeking to bring hope and healing to every community. Regardless of our backgrounds and our upbringing, we can work together to impact lives of every young person in this state and across this nation. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The line, one of a few, really got me. You know, that crowd was about 1,400 people. I was there on Thursday night. That crowd was about 1,300 people or so. Actually, they said it was 1,450 people on the line. Last year was 1,300. 1,450 people there. Predominantly white. Predominantly white. I think it takes a lot of courage for Russell to get up in front of that crowd. And, you know, he had talked about Trump. He mentioned that he didn't vote for Trump. You know, when he talked about it at the beginning, he led that bit to conclude his speech, talking about the divide in our country over the last few months, and a clear allusion to a lot of the hateful rhetoric that has stemmed from that campaign. And Russell didn't talk expansively about the election. He didn't talk expansively about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. All he said was the day after the election, he said, "I didn't vote for Trump and I'm not going to say anything more." And I think tonight was a perfect way for him to use his platform. It was a well-written speech. I thought he was really eloquent in making that speech. I think it would have been really easy for him to go up there and just talk about basketball, be rah-rah about Oklahoma, be rah-rah about the state, be rah-rah about the Thunder. And I think everyone would have been happy. Talk about Michael Jordan. Talk about him signing an extension. And I don't think anybody would have said anything. Thought that was really impressive. I think we should all really respect what Russell Westbrook did on Thursday night. And I kind of thought that was the story over Russell Westbrook being in the Oklahoma Hall of Fame. If you want to watch Michael Jordan's introductory speech for Russell Westbrook from Thursday, or if you want to watch Westbrook's speech in full, you check that out. Both of those are up. I took the videos. I was in the back. I was there on Thursday night. I took the videos and put them up on YouTube, and you can find those. They're both up on normantranscript.com. You can find them there. If you don't have a subscription, you actually can. You can go to my YouTube page and you can check it out there, or you can just go on my Twitter page. I tweeted out those videos at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. So check that out, and you can watch those full speeches in full if you want to see them. We're going to talk about the Nets game in one sec, but before we do, I just want to talk about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for football or basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the arena or the stadium for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for the weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Best of all, my listeners get a rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter the promo code LO Thunder, LO like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Thunder today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So let's talk about the Nets preview. Thunder play the Nets on Friday night. If you want to check out any of Russell Westbrook's Hall of Fame stuff, if you want to watch just the speeches in full, if you don't care about any of my opinion stuff, you can always check that out. That's up on the Norman Transcript site. It's also on my Twitter feed, at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. But Friday night, Nets Thunder. Nets 4-7 right now. Honestly, better than I thought they would be. I think better than most people thought they would be. They beat Phoenix, they beat Minnesota, they beat Detroit, they beat Indiana. Not terrible wins. Like Minnesota, 4-7, but talented. Detroit, missing Reggie Jackson, they have talent. Indiana, struggling a little bit, but like they're not a bad team. Phoenix, I think that was a road win. in Phoenix too. So like the Nets, you know, I thought they had a chance to be the worst team in the NBA. I thought it would be Philadelphia coming into the year, but I thought the Nets were kind of right there with them. But they play. They play fast. They're one of the faster-paced teams in the league. They play really hard. I think Kenny Atkinson is going to end up being a good coach. I didn't really know much about him other than players tend to love him when he took that job with Brooklyn. I didn't know much about him as a basketball person, though. I think it's very possible he's going to end up being a good coach. I think Sean Marks is a really bright guy. I think he's clearly a smart person taking over that organization. Jeremy Lin's been out, hamstring injury. He's been good. He's had some really strong games for them, but the injury has brought him down. He's only played 5 games, status unsure for Friday, but he's only played 5 games and they've been in and out without him. Brook Lopez having a great year. He's their clear best player. He's been really good. He's like a volume 3-point shooter now. He made 4 threes the other night. Him and Marc Gasol finally shooting threes. He and Marc Gasol, centers who could always shoot out to like 20, 21 feet, who played for Lionel Hollins, and then Gasol again, then played for Dave Yeager, who offensively was kind of a similar extension of Lionel Hollins, even if a lot of the other things they did were different in terms of the way he wanted to run an offense and that kind of stuff. It wasn't all that different from the Lionel Hollins offense. Both those guys hitting threes. Marc Gasol hit a game-winning three the other day. He's shooting tons of threes now, and he's doing it well. And Brook Lopez is doing it okay now, too. I mean, look, he's not shooting an amazing percentage. He's like 30-something percent. He's like 34, 33, something like that from three. He's taking over 5 threes a game. He went 4-for-11 from three the other day, and he is chucking up shots. He's scoring like crazy. He's averaging over 20 points in like 26, 27 minutes a game. His usage rate is one of the highest in the league. It's up in the 30s. Now, look, maybe they just want to boost his trade value, but Brook Lopez is a really good player. He's a really good player. He's a great offensive player. There's no question about that. He is one of the best offensive centers in the league, and I think his defense is better than people give him credit for. He's not a great defensive player, but I think it's better than people give him credit for. He's so big that he's like he can protect the rim just with his size almost. He'll block some shots. He'll get something. You put him in space and he's not going to be as good because he's kind of slow footed and you know, you can beat him on pick and rolls and that kind of stuff. But if you keep him around the rim, like, he's not horrible defensively. There are things that he does that can really help a team because he's so good offensively. His offensive game is now so refined. And if he's shooting threes at a decent rate, man, he's just on fire offensively as a scorer. He's also, personal note, one of my favorite. He's like got one of the highest ceilings of any interview in the league. Great interview. Super nice guy. Doesn't love talking about basketball. And when you get him off of basketball, he can give you like these epic interview runs. Like he has one of my favorite media availabilities of all time, which is something that I tweeted out. When was it? Thursday. I tweeted it out. It was from like 2014. And I retweeted an old tweet of mine from one of my favorite media availabilities of all time, which is just this random practice in the 2014 season when the Nets made the playoffs as an 8 seed that was sub .500. And it was like the middle of the season. And Brook Lopez just went off about supervillains and the psychology of comic book supervillains and how he wants to play a Wookiee in the next Star Wars and how we as the media should try to make it happen. And it was fantastic. That was one of my favorite media availabilities. You can check that out. It's on my timeline on Twitter. And it's a funny read. Like, he does not talk like most people. He is able to just... He says things that most people don't say. And it's thoroughly entertaining. A couple Twitter questions before we go. I'm going to combine the first one. I'm going to combine two questions into one. And I'll take one more after that. The first one, the combined one, from Jared Porter. What's the point in trading for Rudy Gay if OKC will just lose him in free agency? And from Dave Abbott, why would the Thunder trade for Rudy Gay? Pros and cons. So I'm bringing up the Rudy Gay thing again. I know Adrian Wojnarowski has kind of rehashed this a couple of times now. Zach Lowe brought it up in a column that he wrote for ESPN on Thursday, which is worth a read if you kind of want a state of the union on the Thunder. And Zach's obviously as good as they come for those sorts of pieces, those pop-in pieces and those kind of states of the unions. Like, I don't know who does that kind of stuff as well as Zach. He's so good at he's so good at capturing the state of a team on court and off court. He's great at that. So you can check that out at ESPN.com. But Zach mentioned in that piece that the Thunder had interest in Rudy Gay, as Adrian Wojnarowski at Yahoo had reported a number of times before. So I'll answer, what's the point in training for Rudy Gay if OKC is just going to lose him in free agency? And I'll give the pros and cons. So potential to lose him in free agency is one of the cons. Now, I've said before, I don't think Rudy Gay is the best fit on this roster as it stands right now. Rudy Gay is not young. He doesn't fit with the timeline of this roster. That's another con. He kind of dominates the ball. That's another con. He's an inconsistent three-point shooter year to year. That's another con. And they could lose him in free agency. He's a free agent after this year if he wants to be. He's got a player option. Chances are he's not going to pick that up. The pro in trading for Rudy Gay? The Thunder don't have cap space next year. And even if they, for some reason, unloaded a bunch of salary, like, they're not going to have meaningful cap space next year. They're not going to have cap space where they'll be able to go out and sign anybody who's going to be able to make a difference. All that noise that you hear about, oh, Thunder should go sign someone, like, that's people who don't really understand how the cap works. And if you're going to say to me, oh, they can just do a sign-and-trade, remember that two parties have to agree to a sign-and-trade. I think the pro here is that the Thunder don't have a history of signing guys, but if you do think that Rudy Gay is a fit, the Thunder don't have a history of signing guys, but they do have a history of trading for guys who they want and then giving those guys contracts. You know, they traded for Cantor and they re-signed him. They traded for Kyle Singler and they re-signed him. I know a lot of Thunder fans don't love that contract, but at the time, I mean, if that were a free agency contract, if Kyle Singler were another team's free agent and got that deal, he'd be the highest paid other team's free agent the Thunder have signed in their entire franchise history by $10 million total. So that means something financially, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about on-court production. I'm just talking about the finances of the deal. You know, Dion Waiters, they traded for and they were planning on signing. Obviously, circumstances changed when Kevin Durant left and they had to stay under the cap so that they could have room to extend Russell Westbrook and things changed. But the initial plan was going to be the same thing, trade for Dion Waiters and try to re-sign him. Now, obviously, it's a little bit different because, you know, Cantor, restricted free agent, you know, that's a Waiters was restricted until the Thunder pulled back the qualifying offer. Like, Rudy Gay is not going to be restricted. So it's a little bit different in that sense. But in terms of just convincing a guy to come, the Thunder have more of a history or closer to a history of convincing a guy to come back to Oklahoma City than they do to convince a guy to come to Oklahoma City from scratch. And I think you can say from that perspective it worked because Dion Waiters wanted to come back. He was waiting it out. He was very open. He's on the record about 400 times saying how much he loved Oklahoma City and that he wanted to be there. Here. What am I saying there? I'm sitting in my apartment in Oklahoma City. Wanted to be here. Not in my apartment. I don't think anybody wants to be in my apartment. Honestly, it's a little messy right now. I need to clean. That's something that I'll do. Except it's late and I'm tired and my Skype got hacked. Anyway, the pro for Rudy Gay is that if you trade for him, he's somebody that you can actually hold on to. Teams use that logic, especially when they don't have a lot of financial flexibility in terms of being able to sign guys away from other teams. They use that logic in order to trade and acquire players. Now, I wouldn't necessarily make that move. The other pro is that while Rudy Gay might be a ball-dominant guy, might not be the best fit next to Russell Westbrook, next to Victor Oladipo, even if Oladipo is going to move to the bench in that particular scenario and Robertson slides over to the two, Rudy Gay is still going to be your best offensive wing. There's no question about that. I mean, this is a team that Robertson's a great defensive player, not going to give you much on the offensive end. Jeremy Grant, not going to give you much on the offensive end. Alex Abrines is still coming into his own. Kyle Singler has basically been riding the end of the bench right now. Josh Huestis hasn't been active yet for a game. He's been in the D League for much of the season. So he's by far your best defensive wing, your best overall wing. Like, the Thunder have the worst offensive wings in the league right now. So that's really one of the pros. I think another one of the cons that I haven't mentioned, but I will right now, is that Rudy Gay at this point in his career, like, he kind of might be a four moving forward. And the Thunder are already loaded with big men. Like, they're already kind of trying to put Jeremy Grant into the four and displacing LaVern minutes or displacing Cantor minutes or whoever it is who would be otherwise getting it. And they're trying to go like Sabonis Grant every once in a while, or trying to get Grant minutes at the four. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I like the Donovan experiments like that. And I think Grant is more of a four than he is a three, but from an offensive standpoint at least. So I think that makes sense. I think it makes sense that he's moving him into those positions, because that's something that Grant can do. And you want to be able to play that versatility. You want to be able to farm that versatility and make it into a useful skill that you can use as a team going down the line. So I think that totally makes sense. But the thing is, you've already got LaVern, and you got Kanter, and you got Adams, and you got Sabonis, and you got Grant. And those are five guys. Now, Grant is a 3-4, but those are five guys who are capable of playing either the four or the five. And if Rudy Gay is going to be best as a four in like a year or two, you can argue he's best as a four right now. Maybe not in every single possible lineup, but I think you can argue that more times than not, he's better as a four than he is as a three. And if that's going to be the case, and you're going to shove him into the three, and like in 2 years, it's probably going to be even more extreme that he's going to be better as a four. Now that's something that could hurt you down the line. But the fit doesn't seem right. If you're going to make a trade for a guy who's a big name, like, I don't quite see the fit. Final question, second and final question, from Thunder Mob. Can you explain how you think getting Cameron Payne back will change the look of the bench? I spoke about on yesterday's podcast that Victor Oladipo is shooting right now 30%. All right, I think I gave the true shooting percentages or whatever I gave. Anyway, this is true. This is what he's shooting. He's shooting 30% with Russell Westbrook off the floor. He's shooting 48% with Russell Westbrook on the floor. He's 42% from three with Russell Westbrook on the floor. He has literally not attempted a corner three with Russell Westbrook off the floor. Every single corner three that he's attempted has come with Russell Westbrook on the floor. Russell Westbrook's facilitating everything for Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo, at least so far this season, has been best when there is somebody next to him facilitating for him, not when he's working with the ball at the top of the key, because he's been really good at catch and shoot. He's been really good at those corner threes, and he's getting a lot of those looks because Russell Westbrook is really darn good at creating corner threes and really good at creating spot up threes for guys, because guys collapse in on the lane in him, and people are helping off Oladipo to help on Westbrook because he's dangerous. Now, Cameron Payne is not Russell Westbrook, but I think he's talented, and I think he is capable of creating shots for other guys, and that includes for Oladipo. Yeah, I think he's capable of doing stuff on offense that Samaje Christen hasn't been able to do so far. I think that's what the big difference is going to be. Victor Oladipo is going to have somebody else who's going to be able to create some shots out there. There's really, really no shot creation when Russell Westbrook's off the floor. That's part of why they're just getting crushed with Westbrook off the floor. There's not any shot creation. They're only like real dominant offenses when Kanter really gets going and you can just dump it to him in the post. And even so, like, they don't have a guy on the second unit who's really good at entry passes. Entry passes aren't gimmies. Especially when a guy's getting muscled, entry passes aren't gimmies. I think Cameron Payne, look, he's not going to take the second unit and turn it into an elite offense. Unless Cameron Payne just became an amazing player in the time he was hurt. That's not going to happen. But I think he's going to have amazing help in terms of just shot creation. Creating out of the pick and roll, getting guys decent looks on the perimeter, finding big men rolling to the rim. Like, these sorts of things are going to come easier with Payne on the floor if he plays the way that his talent says that he can. And I think that's a distinct possibility as long as he's healthy. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there if you have questions or comments. Email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. And you can also find me on Twitter, like I said earlier in the show, @FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Off for the weekend, back Monday following that Pacers game on Sunday night. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.